Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning. Come on in, pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And I'm Amanda Miller. And friends, we welcome you to the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
This morning, we're going to be talking about evangelization in the present moment with two of our deacon friends, Deacon Joe Meyer from St. Matthew Church in Gahanna and Deacon Doug Iglesias from St. Brendan's in Hilliard. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Cameron.
Good morning. Sorry, I was taking a drink of water right when you said that.
I know. I'm like, should I pause or make it awkward? And I went with awkward. So there you go. How are you guys doing?
So good. How are you doing?
Rested and ready for the week.
All right.
Yeah. We had Katie received her master's in English on Saturday from The Ohio Dominican University.
Congratulations.
So, yeah. That was just, bachelor's and master's in 2 years. So she was in a plus one program. And it was just very nice. She's worked so hard. To do this while working full time and just all the work that that goes into it. So very, very proud of Katie. And then this Friday, Abigail will graduate from Columbus State with her associates.
Wow.
A Friday graduation. So yeah, same thing. You know, just very, very proud of the work that they've put into it and
A lot of celebration going on.
A lot of gluten, a lot of dairy.
So Good luck.
We were able to celebrate. Everyone is, home again for the summer. So
yeah,
celebrate last night with a wonderful dinner and cake and ice cream and
all the good stuff.
Yeah, lots of joy. How about you guys?
Very good. My weekend was restful. I spent most of Saturday just kind of, and Sunday actually, hanging around the house and just laying low and doing some prayer and some quiet and some little house projects. Mm-hmm. But I also got some time to go outside. So yeah, restful and yeah, just what I needed, I think.
Good. Cameron?
We didn't have a show on Friday because of the Sacred Heart Hour. So
that's right.
Thursday night, I went to a dinner and really just like a thank you event down in German Village. My wife works for St. Mary's in German Village, and she got invited to the German Village Preservation Society's thank you dinner. Mm. And essentially what they do is they have a bunch of buildings in German Village that are like historical landmarks, historical buildings. And so it was just a big thank you dinner to everybody who works for, helps to preserve those buildings and not update them to the point that they lose that, German Village charm that we all know and love if you've ever been down there. And so, just really nice. We spent the evening there. My mother-in-law babysat. That's kind of a weird word to say. We put Olive down to sleep first because the event was a little later. So really she house sat with a sleeping baby in it. it was really fun just getting to meet a bunch of people there and listen to the speakers just kind of say thank yous and stuff like that. There was no like fundraising or formal talk or anything. It was just like, hey, you guys rock for keeping your old buildings old. So,
well, that sounds great.
And Amanda, you were off on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had a long weekend too.
Yeah, it was nice. Mm-hmm. Good to get some rest.
So we were honored on Friday.
What did I miss?
Well, Lori Doolin from Our Lady of Bethlehem stopped by. You've probably heard some of the promos, friends, that Sybil and Hudson, kindergartners from Our Lady of Bethlehem, recorded for us.
They are so cute.
They just did a great job. So second time now that they've had the kindergartners do these promos and kind of last year and then again this year I ask for their autographs. Mm-hmm. When they're done. It's just adorable.
Right.
So Lori came in with a gift from all the kindergartners
at
Our Lady of Bethlehem. Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. So it's a laminated poster. You lift us up. Thank you. With love and prayers, your friends at Our Lady of Bethlehem, the youngest of the faithful in the Diocese of Columbus, with all their little autographs. Isn't that sweet?
I'm so touched. Oh, man.
Yeah. So y'all made my day.
Yeah.
So very, very grateful for, yeah, for you taking time to bless us.
Yeah.
So how about that? How about today's gospel reading? Shall we go there?
Let's do it.
So today is Monday, May 6th, the sixth week in the season of Easter. Our gospel passage is from John chapter 15, verses 26 to 16, verse 4. Cameron?
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I've told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you."
Amen. Amanda, you get to go first today.
Okay. So, well, one, I was struck by the Spirit of truth, and I think it's just such a blessing to even think that we have the Spirit of truth abiding within us. So struck by that today. And then it says, because you have been with me from the beginning. And, you know, when I initially read that, I thought, oh, well, he's talking to his apostles. They've been with him. They've walked with him. They got all of his teaching. They've seen how he lives. They are very particular in that situation where they can then proclaim Christ boldly and share everything that they learned from him. And I just thought, oh, what a blessing that is for them. And yes, they got to receive that in such a particular way. But then I thought, well, don't I get that as well through the sacraments? And especially when I spend time with scripture and in adoration. And so I thought, well, he is always with me, and I just need to make that time and that space to be with him so as to grow in that relationship, so as to be able to proclaim his word. Because if I don't have his word within me, I won't be able to proclaim it. Mm. So, yeah.
The way that St. Francis of Assisi approached Lectio and just his prayer when he would, there's stories about him with his all-night vigils, just repeating over and over again, "God, who are you, and who am I?" So that's kind of the Franciscan approach to Lectio. Just those two questions, God, who are you, and who am I? So who are you, God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all comes, you know, out in this passage. But what I learned about God here, he's just, God is love, right? In three persons that just wants to protect and care for us. You know, as the Lord says here, "I have told you this so that you may not fall away." So he wants to keep us close. And then he's like, you know, things are going to get bad.
Yeah.
You know, they'll expel you from the synagogues. Mm-hmm. The hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. But I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. It's just that the fatherly love wants to protect his children.
Right.
The Lord has been preparing the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it doesn't stop there. They're sending the Spirit as the advocate in truth so that we may, that's where now, who am I and what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to remember the truth. Mm-hmm. And remember everything that the Lord taught. And how do we do that? In the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is our counselor, our paraclete, our that Spirit of truth, so that we may never, ever wander away from what the Lord has for us.
And I think all of that is founded on that first phrase, which is what stuck out to me when Jesus said to his disciples, when the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And how in all of those moments, the ways that we like die to ourselves in every moment, the ways that we're persecuted in big and little ways, and in the ways that we are called to sacrifice, Jesus is saying here, like he says, I've told you all of this so that you don't fall away. Well, what have I told you all of? That the Holy Spirit is coming. The advocate will come because I will send him. And very simply, I'm reminded of, I think this was this last week, we had a conversation. It was probably Marlon because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, but I can't quite remember of that simple prayer of, and Amanda, you had brought it up, of just simply saying, come Holy Spirit. In those moments. So when we face those sacrifices, when we face that persecution, when we face those ways of dying in this life, just being able to turn our eyes to heaven and say, okay, come Holy Spirit, grant me this grace. Mm-hmm. Amen, alleluia.
Amen, alleluia. Good stuff. Well, we have a great show this morning. We're going to talk about evangelization in the present moment with our friends Deacon Joe Meyer and Deacon Doug Iglesias. So you're listening to the St. Gabriel Cafe. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
A prayer in devotion to the Holy Face of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be merciful to us, O my God, and reject not our prayers, when amid our afflictions we call upon thy holy name and seek with love and confidence thine adorable face. Amen.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of affability is seen in Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Pier Giorgio lived affability heroically by acting cheerfully and without complaint when life was difficult. He was friendly and outgoing to everyone, especially the sick and the poor, whom he served with works of mercy. His genuine smile shared God's love with others. He was joyful, even as he was dying at the early age of 24. Let us ask Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati to pray for us, that we too may grow in affability. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. St. Padre Pio said that the rosary is a weapon for these times. It is a method of prayer which strengthens us to love Jesus and to love others. Praying the rosary is a holy and healthy endeavor which teaches us about the life of Jesus through contemplation of the mysteries and with Our Lady's intercession. St. Padre Pio said, "Go to the Madonna. Always say the rosary. Be souls of prayer. Never tire of praying. It is what is essential. prayer shakes the heart of God. It obtains necessary graces. Saint Pope John Paul II said, "It is essential that we pray the rosary for peace and for the family. But more than anything, the rosary guides us on our journey to holiness. The meaning of our lives is to become a saint." Blessed Mother, we thank you for your intercession and for the graces we receive through your Son when we pray the rosary. Amen.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborne, and we're thrilled to have Deacon Joe Meyer here in the cafe with us this morning. Deacon Doug Iglesias is en route. So
great.
His ETA is in minutes. So Deacon Joe, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
The inspiration for today's show, Evangelizing in the Present Moment, came from your visit during the Spirit Drive, right? Yeah. A conversation that you had with Amanda during the Spirit Drive about an encounter that you had at work.
Right. Yeah. Most of my career has been in the optical business. And the last 20 years, I've been in the LASIK eye surgery business. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, long before I was a deacon, I was put in a situation where I was a regional manager. And I always thought, as a regional manager, managing people, man, you better stick to correct principles. So I was fortunate enough to be with a company that applied correct principles to everything we did in management. We studied 7 habits of highly effective people. I was able to wear my faith on my sleeve, mm-hmm. which I always have and never really have not been comfortable with sharing my love for Jesus. I don't push it on anyone. I just talk about the love of my life, and that is Jesus. And so I, this one particular day as a regional manager, I had several locations, mm-hmm. but I was at our Lane Avenue location, and it was in December, and that's kind of a slow time in the optical business. And this particular day, I was up on a ladder and painting our contact lens room. And Linda, one of the managers there at the time, she was divorced, and she had her son, 12 years old, that lived with her, and her father lived with her as well. Her mother was in a nursing home facing some end-of-life things that were going on. So what happens when a loved one is facing the end of life, they have questions about the afterlife. And so she was searching for answers, and she posed a question to me. She said, "Joe, you know, I'm really concerned about my mom. I'm trying to figure out, is there a God? And but you know, have this faith, and you know, I pick up a Bible and I can't get past the these and the thous." Mm. I was like, "Oh my gosh." So I got off my ladder, ran out to my car, and I just bought a new leather bound study Bible. And I ran back in and I said, "Linda, this is a Bible I use. And you know, look at this, you know, here's a verse. And then if you go over here, it's got like a little homily description on what that verse actually means. And I think I would probably start with maybe the Gospels." And I presented it to her that way. And I said, why don't you just take this Bible and try it out? And, you know, and she goes, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." Well, about a week later, I was in Marion, Ohio, and I called over to the Lane Avenue location. She answered the phone. And we're talking about business, and she goes, "Hey, Joe, about that Bible that you loaned me, my dad picked it up and he really likes it. Do you mind if I keep it a little longer?" I was like, "Oh my gosh, absolutely. Please, you know, keep it as long as you want." And so, to make a long story short, her dad, her son, and Linda herself, they all were baptized on Easter Sunday. Wow. And they all came into the church. It was like, that happened with me? I'm not a scripture scholar. I just was available. And I share my love for Jesus with anybody, you know, but, you know, it's God's job. What I learned is that our job is just to be open when the moment happens. And like today's gospel says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, will come to you and give you the words and the time. You don't have to be a scripture scholar to share the faith. You just have to share your love for Jesus. He's, by talking about him as if you were with any loved one, you know, over the weekend. How was your weekend? I was with Jesus. You know, I had some really cool things happen to me. And just share those moments when, you know, this is how it applied to me. It doesn't, you know, we don't push it. It's God's job to make the somebody to convert somebody. It's our job just to be open to sharing it.
And Linda approached you, right?
Yes, so. Right. Now there, that is part one of maybe that particular Bible. There is another part to that, because the company I was with for 12 and a half years, I loved it, how principally centered the company was. They sold and change happens. And, you know, so life changes were presenting me with, I need to open myself up to other pastors. So I moved to another job, which was really not very principally centered. But I always, my guiding faith as managing people was to make sure that I was managing by correct principles. Well, this particular Saturday coming up in Lima, Ohio, we had an opportunity to, we had a lot of patients on the books, and we, if we could sell 1 hour glasses, it would be a huge day for us. So I called up the city center manager and I said, hey, Ron, on Saturday, would you go with me to Lima, Ohio? And he said, yeah, Joe. And so I pick him up at City Center Mall. And I had Promise Keeper music going on in the background because I took my kids to my boys, three sons. We that was a big part of my life. Men's ministry has always been a big part of my life. And so he gets in the car, no big deal. I had Promise Keeper music kind of going on in my radio because that's what I listen to when I drive. I always listen to Christian music. And so he goes, wow, Joe, that's really beautiful music. I wish I could have faith like you. And I said, well, you can. He said, no, you do not understand. He said, God could never forgive me for the things that I've done. I was like, Ron, no, Jesus died on the cross. There's nothing that is, you know, too big for us. No sin is greater than what Jesus died on the cross for. He loves you. And he goes, well, you don't understand. And he goes on to saying that when he lived in Puerto Rico as a child, at 12 years old, him and his buddies broke into a home, and they didn't know that the owner was home. The owner came down the stairs, and Ron picked up a gun, and he shot him and killed him and broke down and cried. And I said, Ron, God forgives you. There's nothing too big for God to forgive. He forgives you. And we talked about the love of God. I shared the prodigal son, how the father sees the son at a distance and he doesn't wait for him to come and give his excuses. He's sitting there. He runs to meet the son. He runs because he's so happy that he's, you know, given him, coming back to him. God longs for us to come back to him. And so, you know, we go there, have this big Saturday. On the way home, driving down 33, a rest stop's coming up. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, pull over and give him that Bible that you loaned to Linda. And he pull over. I opened up my trunk and he goes, well, what's going on? I said, God wants me to give you this Bible. He goes, Joe, I can't take this Bible. It's got all your notes in it, your underlines. And I said, no, God does not want me to loan you this Bible. He wants me to give you this Bible. And about a week later, we had a men's evening of reflection at Church of the Resurrection. Our guest speaker was actually Cabot Ray that evening, and he was sharing his story. We were breaking off into our, what I call flying groups, and talking about the, and Ron shared his story with the other guys. I mean, just a moment, and how could he use me? You know, a little me to carry on the faith. But that happens all the time. God gives us moments and we have to seize the moment, but we don't really have to do anything special other than just share how God works in your life. And I think that, you know, if we really love Jesus, he's just going to be our guiding light, and people are going to be interested and want to inquire.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Deacon Joe Meyer, I love the point that you keep on reiterating, and this is my takeaway so far, that it's not our job to convert. I think you had said that. It's not our job to convert. Jesus does that. We just have to be open to the moment that's presented right in front of us.
And happens, there's so many moments that just happen to us in just normal everyday life. You know, a question comes up and you're sharing yourself. You're sharing that God is a part of yourself. And then the Holy Spirit, the advocate, takes it the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm. Deacon Joe, why do you think it is sometimes that we don't take that step to be open to the present moment? I think a lot of times it's just fear, or we get it in our own head.
100%. Fear is future evidence appearing real. And so I think that people get caught up in fear of, like, what happens if I were to share? I you know, makes reminds me of another story in my current job. Somebody said to me, I was sitting at the desk, and she said, "You're really open about your faith." I was like, it's conversation. You're just asking how your weekend went, and you're sharing a story, and you know if you have if somebody else has a love for Jesus, because, you know, so. And she said, "You kind of crossed the line." I said, "How do I cross the line?" She said, You really talk openly about Jesus." I said, "Absolutely. He's my friend. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to ever change that. You know, I'm not pushing it on anyone. I never do that. But, you know, and so she said, "Aren't you worried that, if you're bringing Jesus into the secular world?" And I'm like, and worried about maybe losing your job. Mm-hmm. No, actually, I think that if God is your guiding force, you will be successful in business.
Mm-hmm.
That's the principles. The best business management book in the world is the Bible, and all the great books that you read in management are principally centered, and their roots are right there with the greatest CEO we ever have, Jesus. You know, he's written the best book on any type of management of people. He understands people. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to just meet people where they are.
Yeah.
Treat them the way actually they want to be treated. And if you treat people well and you show that you care about them, there's an old saying that says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know you care about them and you love them, because if you love Jesus, you're going to love people. And if you love them, accepting them where they are, God will touch their heart.
Right.
And we're just a piece of the puzzle, a small piece. Maybe it's somebody else that actually does the finishing touch for that evangelization.
That's such a good point, that we don't have to think, I have to give them everything at once. You know, just be a part of the work that God has right in front of you.
Right.
I remember I was traveling. I was in line to get on a plane, and the lady next to me, she's opening her bag and rummaging through it, and I forgot all my snacks, and I travel with plenty of snacks. So I said, would you like some? And she was so moved by that, and the people next to her were kind of like, oh wow, you know, and I just thought, I was like, I'm just giving snacks.
Oh, but, you're breaking bread, man. You're sharing a meal.
Yeah, but what she said next was, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And she made that connection of, because the way you love, I know who's at the heart of it.
Right.
And so it's little things like that what we don't even think of sometimes that shows them, okay, well, because you're a Christian, here are your principles, here's your love, here's how you treat people. And that's evangelization in itself. And well, I didn't say the word of Jesus at all.
Yeah, well, I think there too, the Holy Spirit provided her with that insight also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to that she, you know, had that thought. I bet this young lady is a Christian. Deacon Joe Meyer from St. Matthew's in Gahanna, in the encounter that you just shared, where you know the woman was asking whether whether or not you were worried about crossing the line.
Yeah,
was she a Christian, or was she coming at it?
She actually was.
Yeah.
Yes, but she was, you know, like an observation she made is that, you know, I carry my faith with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. My mom has given, she's actually in hospice care right now. But my mom is a lover of people. Mm. She loves people. And one of the greatest things that she says, you know, that she just recently said, she says, don't try to change people. It is not our job to change someone. Accept them for who they are, because Jesus did that. He always accepted people for where they are and who they were. And that the human being is so unique. If you meet one person, you have met one person. You will never meet another person like that person.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in customer service business and somebody is coming in, you should treat that person like we would treat Jesus. You know, a word that is lost in today's society is honor.
Mm.
I think that I remember going through a marriage enrichment with my wife and other couples. And we were, and the presenter used an old violin that was battered and beat up and everything. And he passed it around and everybody looked at it and it came back to him and he said, what if I were to tell you that this violin is worth millions of dollars? It's made by one of the finest German luthers in the world. And if I now hand that back to you, what are you going to do? You're going to go, ah, it's going to take your breath away. That is honor. And what we are called to do, the golden rule, we know what the golden rule is, right? Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Jesus calls us, I think, to the platinum rule. Do unto others as they would like to be done unto. Now, that requires knowing yourself and honoring that person by getting to know them. So evangelization happens when you, like an old saying says, make a friend first,
mm-hmm.
be a friend. So you make a friend and you be a friend, learning about that person, and then you bring a friend to Christ. But you don't do it. The Holy Spirit does that. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit does all of the rest of the work. But that is our job, to make a friend, to be a friend,
mm-hmm.
and then bring that friend to Christ. It's not very hard.
It really is.
You say it like that.
So much of it, though, is starting with confidence of who we are in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And to have that confidence that to love because we're loved.
Right.
And really that's all that it takes to have these simple conversations, mm-hmm. to share a smile or to share a word of kindness.
You know,
we don't have to look 5, 6, 7 steps down the line about, or try to suppose how the Lord is going to work in their lives. The Lord knows how he wants to work in their lives. You know,
yeah.
We journey, we accompany, and
It begins with knowing yourself. First of all, it begins with knowing God.
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing about God. Knowing God. Having a relationship.
Yeah.
And if your prayer life is like Father Ricardo driving in here this morning, talked a lot about, you know, that, you know, if you're suffering in your prayer life, you're probably not going to wear Jesus on your shirt sleeve, you know, too much. And you're not going to be guided, and you're not going to treat people the way, you're not going to love. If you're apart from the vine, I am the vine and you are the branches. We just recently heard this, right, in church. And on Sunday, you know, I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Nothing.
But with me, if you are attached to the vine, ask for anything and it will be given to you. But it all requires us being attached to the source of life, the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus. And he gives us the way and he gives us the truth when it presents itself. The truth will set you free. So, and so you don't have anything to be worried about, fearful. He is the good shepherd. What is your view of who our Lord is? Is he a critical God that's just waiting for us to screw up and wants to zap us? No, he's a loving, benevolent father who loves us. He cares about us.
Amen. I think one of the greatest, somewhat contemporary examples we have of evangelization in the present moment and just really entering into other people's lives is Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who
he's going to be
a saint
next year. Really big.
But I know you have a devotion, Cam.
Yeah, and really has been re-sparked too in preparation for his canonization as well. I'm very excited about it. My younger brother, I think he really popped up on my radar when my younger brother Jack picked him for his confirmation saint because he had just been made a blessed at the time. And two stories come to mind. Talk about a saint who's a patron for evangelization in the present moment. The first story is he never really looked outside of the places that the Lord planted his feet, right? So he'd be hanging out with his friends in the bar or whatever, having a couple drinks and stuff, and they'd be playing pool, and they'd put a bet on the pool game, and his friends would say, all right, if I win, I get, you know, $50 or something like that. Oh, that's a lot of money for just a simple pool game. And Pier Giorgio would say, all right, and if I win, you come to Mass with me. Or if I win, you come to adoration with me, you know? And so just like found those moments, and a lot of the stories that have come out, a lot of people didn't know that in the moment. It was just his friends doing whatever after he passed away. And at his funeral, a lot of these stories were coming out of like, yeah, he really sparked a faith in me because of a simple pool game, right? Or there's a story of a homeless man that every day when he was young, Pier Giorgio used to walk to Mass. And his parents were well off. They bought him a new pair of shoes, and he had a number of pairs of shoes. They brought him this brand new pair of shoes, and he was walking to Mass with them and passed this homeless man and realized he didn't have shoes on. And so he took the shoes off his own feet, these brand new shoes, and gave them to him and walked barefoot the rest of the way to Mass, the rest of the way home, because he thought to himself, I have so many more pairs of shoes at home. They might be a little worn, but I don't need this new pair. But he has no shoes. He needs a pair of shoes. And so those moments to like recognize, oh, saying like evangelization in the present moment where God has planted my feet, you have to recognize first that like where your feet currently are is where God has planted your feet, right? Assuming you're walking with him, that you have some kind of faith, you can trust that like where you are in your car or where you are in your workday or where you are at home, that's where God wants you in that moment. And so open your eyes, look around, just like you were saying, Deacon, looking around and seeing that those people, that person is a person,
right?
An individual person. You'll never meet another person like them.
Where's God's grace? It is now. Right here, right now. That's where God is at. And sometimes we don't share. I was just thinking about your question, Amanda, you know, that why don't we? Right. Because we're someplace else a lot of times, because we humans are scared sheep You know, we're like, you know, and so we're worried about something, you know, that we got to get done, or, you know, but people are always more important than things. Mm-hmm. So the challenge is to be now, not caught up in worry. You know, Jesus says, do not worry. Do not look at the lilies of the field. They do not toil nor spin. Yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. So he doesn't want us in the feared future evidence appearing real. And he doesn't want us living, beating ourselves up for the past. He took care of the past. He died on the cross, you know, but it's now. Mm-hmm. It's right now. Mm-hmm. That's where God's at.
Yeah. So know who you are. Be aware of where you are. Right. So know who you are, know where you are, and then pay attention to what's going on around you.
I mean,
just that is just a lack of awareness now of what's happening around us, because we're so focused on either a device or looking inward, paying attention to ourselves rather than those folks that we encounter in the situations that are around us. Deacon Doug Iglesias in the cafe.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
Great. Good to see you all. Deacon Joe Meyer. I think our training has been very similar. Seven Habits, Platinum Rule. I don't know many people who know the Platinum Rule, but I took a course on that.
So oh, my gosh. Oh,
pretty cool.
Jesus teaches us Platinum Rule on everything, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
That's great.
Can I add one more to your list of things that I think? Authenticity.
Yes.
I think right now, especially our young adults, right, they're really searching for authenticity, right? And they're getting a lot of fake truths, right? Like, oh, this will be your solution to the world. And when they meet someone authentic, then that kind of changes things.
Deacon Doug, I'm so glad you said that, actually, because Dave, when you're listing, you know, this is how we go about evangelization. My thought was, yeah, but also be yourself. Mm-hmm. Because Deacon Joe, when you were sharing, oh, you had your Christian music playing and then your friend got in with you and heard it and you were just being yourself. You didn't shy away from it. You didn't turn it off because you didn't know his views.
Right.
You just lived your life and you were yourself, and
that's
that comes through.
Do. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And, you know, I think when you say planted where you are, Cam, I think also our churches, right? Our churches are huge grounds for really bringing people to that next level of faith. I mean, so many people are just giving church one chance, and we miss them, right? Mm-hmm. We don't look around, as you were saying, and say, who's out there that, like, looks lost, and how can we just greet them and invite them and say, hey, you look new here. Hey, you know, tell me about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Deacon Doug Iglesias, Deacon Joe Meyer here in the cafe with us this morning. We're talking about evangelization in the present moment. Where do you spend, Deacon Doug, day in and day out? What does your present moment look like?
Chaos.
No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
So, you know, full-time job, and I'm in the insurance business, so I get a lot of opportunity to meet with people in crisis, right? Mm. So they had a bad accident or something like that. And a lot of times, you know, I'll offer, do you want to pray? And we can pray together. You know, it's been really wonderful. A lot of times they'll ask me, so what Protestant church do you go to? And I'm like, no, I'm Catholic. And they're like, oh, you guys pray? And I'm like, yeah, we do.
Wow.
That's pretty wild. So then in the evenings, twice a week as a deacon, I meet with married couples and do marriage prep or, you know, just kind of pastoral counseling kind of thing, and just passionate about it. And when will you do that? That is an incredible opportunity. I don't know, Joe, if you've had the experience of that, but seeing someone who wants to become Catholic, when you have a couple that came in, that one's not Catholic and one's Catholic, and I will start with prayer, and then I'll say, at the end, you guys pray, and then usually one of them will be like, that'll pray. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, just give it a shot. This is, you know, is your spouse worth it, your future spouse worth you going into your faith? And they'll say, oh, okay, I'll do it for her, you know, or do it for him. And sure enough, twice now, I've had people through that process say, you know what, I want to become Catholic, I want to get baptized, and like, you know, doesn't get any better than that. So
Deacon Doug, you talked about, you know, like praying with people, offering prayer. I too do the same thing, and I was just thinking as you were sharing that, you know, when I offer to a patient who's scared and they sense, you know, like going through the journey, they discover I love Jesus and they love Jesus. And then I would offer, you know, hey, you know, I can pray with you. We'll do it privately, of course, you know, and I'll go to, you know, one of the exam rooms and I invite actually another team member to come in with me.
That's a huge witness, yeah.
Yes. So, you know, we pray. And then what message is that for the other people? You know, not pushing it on them, but they're witnessing, wow, you know, that's kind of powerful. Other people are seeing that. You're not afraid to just share your love for Jesus, and you're not afraid to pray with somebody, you know.
And again, it's just authentic. Right.
It's authentic.
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, guys, you do it because you're deacons.
No. Well, long before I was a deacon. You just, yeah.
Actually, the saint that's future saint in my life is my mother-in-law. She's just this amazing woman. But I hope to have faith like her. And she's not, you know, any kind of title, but she'll walk in a store and she'll see someone hurting and she'll go and pray with them. Mm. You know, she has no qualms about talking about people. And a lot of times the evangelization will be, you know, I think I shared this one time, she'll go up and go, oh, you have beautiful eyes. And this person will just light up, you know, and then that will start the conversation. As a guy, I'm very careful of doing that, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But you know, it's that.
It's more nice hair.
Yeah. Right? Something like that, you know? but to your point, like putting people first, right? And so when we put people first and we see that they're a child of God, and maybe they're lost, you know, just kind of loving them where they're at is huge.
Right.
And just giving them something that gives them that opportunity to come into the conversation. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that and be welcoming, that's huge.
I always been a part of a men's group, you know, for most of, you know, I'm 67 now, and I was 22 when I was on fire for the Lord. And it's never, you know, that flame has been there. But praying in public, like with your brothers, if you're at a restaurant or your family, you know, is a witness to the waitresses and the waiters that are there and to the other people around you. And there have been moments there where people comment, you know, like our group going back to the same restaurant, and they always see, oh, you guys, yeah, that's that. Those guys pray together and they talk about their faith, you know. And that is a witness.
When Father Ricardo has good stories there too, just to have that pause and say, we're going to pray over our meal. How can I pray for you?
Yeah.
To the waitress. And just beautiful. A real easy, we're going to do it anyway.
Yes.
Right. We're going to bless our, you know,
right,
our food, but can we pray for you also?
That's beautiful. Yeah.
And that, easy.
Yeah. That makes it an easy entryway, right? An easy way to start. Though, okay, so we're talking about the difference between, oh, can I pray for you, and can I pray for you right now and praying with someone? That could be scary sometimes. How do you get over that?
I think you just jump.
You just do it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of our faith, right? You just got to kind of move, right? And again, asking the Holy Spirit and not wanting to make the person uncomfortable too. There's times when people are like, they look terrified, like you're going to exercise them or something, you know? Look. If you don't feel comfortable with this, right, you know, I'll just be praying for you.
Okay.
But if you give them that opportunity, I would say 9, 10 out of 10, they say yes.
Okay. Here's what I'm thinking, though. Many of us maybe didn't grow up with spontaneous prayer or just praying with someone in that way.
Right.
How do we even get started?
Well, first of all, I think that we're all different. You know, I mean, if you've done personality profiles, you know that, you know, some people are more dominant and very direct, and they're comfortable with that. So another personality might be just, you know, they're very emotional, and, you know, they wear all their emotions on their shirt sleeve, and some people are a little bit more reserved and shy. God uses all of us. Mm-hmm. And so it might not be your mojo to go out and just do that.
Sure.
You know, you have to, it's starting knowing who you are. God uses every single one of us in our personality, the way we are right now, wherever you are. You can't say, well, that's just not my personality. I'm not as outgoing as Deacon Joe or Deacon Doug, you know, and I can't do that. Yes, you can. You just have to be yourself. It sure. goes right
authenticity.
Back to what you're, yes. Yeah. Just stay true to who you are and know who, you know, gosh, we're coming up on next Sunday is the Ascension. And Jesus at the Ascension detonates power within us. We have the supernatural power of God within us. We have to just believe it, trust it, and he will give us the words when it comes. When the advocate comes, the Holy Spirit, he will go before you, and he's sending the Father and the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, and he will testify to me. Mm-hmm. That's what the scripture says today. He will testify to me. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking within us, he's testifying to the one who lives within your soul, to yeah. me. That's God. That's Jesus. That's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
And to not be discouraged if the first couple times you go to pray with someone, it feels awkward and okay, that's fine. It's something that you haven't maybe practiced before, but don't worry. And I think even just a practical, okay, start in your own personal life. Just start in prayer with, okay, praying spontaneously, mm-hmm. and then maybe later take it to the next step of, yeah. okay, now I'm going to do yeah. this with someone.
I felt like a Galapagos bird, you know, landing when I first started praying, you know, just really ugly and trying, I think sometimes trying to make it beautiful, mm. right? Mm-hmm. And like, I want it to sound great and I want it to move that person. It's like, no, just talk to God.
Yeah.
Right? Just talk to God. And what do you really want to accomplish? And it might be saying some of the most powerful prayers in the world, right? The Hail Mary and the Our Father, and just doing that, if that's what God's calling you to do. But just pray authentically. Pray, yeah. you know, don't try and make it some kind of evangelization teaching through your prayer. Just pray to Jesus for that person.
Have no fear. Yeah. Do not be anxious. Mm-hmm. No anxiety.
A good place, I think, to start is even just thanking the Father for the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus, I just thank you for so-and-so. I thank you for the gift that they are. I ask that you to bless them in mm-hmm. whatever they just asked for prayer for. That's so simple.
And mm-hmm. by name.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, grocery store, gas station, evangelization, because often there are restaurants that are very often wearing name tags.
Yeah.
So just to call the person by name. Mm. And when you say their name out loud, that does something. When mm-hmm. you know, when somebody uses your name, there's
right.
It's just a what's the word I'm looking for? It's just there's a connection there.
Yeah.
When you hear it's your personable. Name or in when you say somebody's name.
Dale Carnegie says it's the most important word anyone will ever hear is someone else saying their name. Mm. Right. So I think also our work, though, you know, our workplaces, I was shocked when I was in a corporate role, just the number of fallen away Catholics and that were going to Protestant churches and had given up on the faith. And so my office became the crying office. It was just very stressful work. And so people would come in and I would just say, hey, you want to pray, you know? Mm. And some of them would say, no, you know, I don't believe in that anymore or something. I'd say, okay, well, I'll just pray for you. But I think that message, right? And some of them I'm still working on for now 15 years, you know? But just letting them know that there's more and that this is an active faith. Mm-hmm. So your faith might have been dormant, but this is a possibility to get back into that active faith. And that active faith is just a whole different world. Mm-hmm. You know, it changes everything, changes your marriage, changes your relationship with your kids, changes mm-hmm. your work.
Another little nugget is that I had heard, talk to God about man before you talk to man about God. Mm. So, you know,
like,
so that means that, you know, keep other people that you work with, pray for them and, you know, pray for that person. One of the ways I recently have just discovered a few years ago, I always thought, man, I always tell people I'm going to pray for them and I'm probably missing some of it. And I thought, how can I be better at that? And as a deacon and I'm handing out Jesus and I got Jesus in my hand, mm-hmm. the body of Christ. I say to myself silently, a name of a family member or a name of a person that I always say the names of the people that I'm working with and the people around him. I just say their name as I say the body of Christ. And I lay that on somebody's tongue or their hand. And to myself, I'm saying a name. I'm remembering the people that are past. So I'm praying for the dead. But I'm also praying for the, you know, that's setting us up for the opportunity when it comes, mm-hmm. you know.
Kim?
That also reminds me too, practically, it's not weird to take notes. The Hard as Nails missionaries here in town, I was so struck when Jacob DeSanza, who's been one of the missionaries for this past year, asked me how he could pray for me, and then he pulled out his phone into his notes app and mm-hmm. typed into it, pray for Cam for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And then 4 months later, I ran into him again, and he's like, oh, how are you? And we end the conversation, you know, just catching up and stuff, and he says, hey, how can I pray for you? Last time you said, pray for this. Should I keep praying for that? And what else can I pray for? And that was just like, wow. I was like, I'm Catholic. And that was one of the most like powerful things this last year that happened to me, of just like, wow, he remembered the thing that I asked him to pray for because he's been praying for it.
It was authentic.
Proof right there.
It was
right?
authentic versus, hey, I'll pray for you. And then wow. I forget. And you kind of know that they forgot and you feel bad. But no, this guy was serious about it. Yeah.
Deacon Doug Iglesias, Deacon Joe Meyer here in the cafe. We're talking about evangelization in the present moment. Both of you had mentioned bringing in other people. I mean, how often, and Doug, I think you mentioned, Deacon Doug, you mentioned, you know, you've been praying for, you know, some of these intentions for 15 years or mm-hmm. whatever. Let's not forget also to bring other people into it. I mean, we have the entire church, you know, mm-hmm. and the supernatural reality of the church also, but then also his hands and feet here on earth. So, Lord, bring somebody else into this person's life
mm-hmm.
and let them encounter another one of your children.
Especially today. Family members.
Yeah.
And you can pray to your guardian angel to speak to the other person's guardian right. angel to help bring them along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a spiritual yeah. world that's fighting for us as well.
Yes.
And then keep in mind that you may be that person that somebody else is praying for.
Ooh.
So not to miss those opportunities to have that boldness and to step up. And, you know, you could be an answer to somebody's prayers as well.
I think at the end of the day, that's the thing I regret. Like at the end of my life, when I'll say, what are the regrets? I would say the missed opportunities, right?
Yeah.
That moment that person was right there and I didn't take that opportunity to say, hey, you know, what's going on? Put them first, you know,
right.
What do you need? What's on your heart?
Mm-hmm.
Just about 2 minutes left. Other takeaways? Great conversation today, guys.
Yeah. I think, makes me think of the graces that we don't accept because mm-hmm. God's giving us all these graces and we don't always open the present.
Amen.
Which is in the present.
Faithfulness which is to the present moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I just encourage, you know, all of us who are listening, most likely are going to church. That is fertile ground for people who are just giving it that one chance. And again, missed opportunities. Nothing breaks my heart worse than seeing someone come and then they don't come back and you never see them again. And you wonder what happened to them, right? So if we can make those huge evangelization opportunities.
Mm. Be aware, be present. Amen. Deacon Doug Iglesias, Deacon Joe Meyer, thanks for being in the cafe.
Oh, great being here.
Tomorrow Thank morning, you. We have Dr. Marlon Delatorre and Dr. Peggy Hartshorn joining us. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow morning.